Tonight I want to look briefly at a verse from this coming Sunday morning. It's from Numbers 10, verse 26, and that section in Numbers is a list of all of the different tribes and the leader of the army of each tribe. When you come to Numbers 10, verse 26, you come to just the tribe of Asher. It says, over the army of the tribe of the children of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Ochran. So we're talking about somebody who in many ways is entirely forgettable, this Pagiel. We know almost nothing else about him, and he is not mentioned anywhere else apart from the book of Numbers. And even when he's mentioned, he's mentioned in a way that's not very distinctive. There's nothing notable about him. What do we know about him? He is one of 12 other military tribal leaders. He led his tribe, the army of Asher, in the book of Numbers. So he's a military leader. We find he's also a worshiper. He, on behalf of his tribe, like the other 12 representatives of their tribe, he brought offerings for the consecration of the tabernacle earlier in Numbers. And that's about all that we know about him. He is of the tribe of Asher. What do you know about the tribe of Asher? I mean, the mother of Asher, not Leah, not Rachel, one of the handmaids. Zilpah is the mother of Asher. So in some ways, one of the lesser tribes. He is blessed by Jacob, that tribe. Asher is blessed with richness by Jacob. And when Moses blesses the tribe of Asher is blessed with favor and strength from the Lord. But right on the heels of that blessing, when Asher, the tribe of Asher, goes into the land, in the book of Joshua, what we hear is the tribe of Asher failed to fully drive out the inhabitants of Canaan. And so they always lived with Canaanites. They didn't fulfill, they didn't use the strength that God had blessed them with to fully drive out the Canaanites. When the call to fight came later on in Judges from Deborah and Barak, Asher didn't respond. They did respond and join the fight with Gibeon. Now, that's all just the tribe of Asher. What about Pagiel? He's forgettable. He's from a relatively undistinguished tribe. They're now lost. We don't know where the tribe of Asher is. And you've got this man who, for a time, was known among his people. But now his name and his labors are largely just passed over. And it says something. It says something about the forgettable nature of our lives and our own labors. We remember how the word says, the wind blows over our place and we are remembered no more. And when that realization hits you and you're thinking, yeah, who's going to remember my name? I'm not a military leader and a worship leader in front of the entire state or denomination. What is the point of the little things that I do? Yeah, there was this one person I tried to connect with to serve, and nobody even remembers it. Nobody even knew about it. And that person, I don't even know where they are. Didn't seem like it ever came to anything. What's the point of these little works of serving, these little efforts at outreach? Does it make any difference? Will anyone remember? Well, what we're called to remember is something that's hinted on earlier in the chapter in Numbers. In that earlier in chapter 10, there's this little part that says, you do all this stuff. You do all the stuff I've told you to do about how you're organized with your tribes, how you move, which offerings to bring. And when you blow these silver trumpets, I'm going to remember you. You think, we blow these trumpets and God's going to remember us. Numbers 10:10, also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. and they shall be a memorial, a remembrance for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. This is the little pushpin that connects us to Christ and all of our strivings, trying to be remembered, trying to be worthy of remembrance. In the gospel, there is a sacrifice by which our names and our works are remembered. Jesus is that sacrifice that causes God to continually remember us. Jesus was the one in Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? Who's going to remember his name? He died largely with all of his works and his name trashed, erased, buried. But Jesus was forgotten in death so that we would be remembered always. Jesus was the righteous servant in Isaiah 53 who justified many by his own works so that we wouldn't have to strive ceaselessly on our forgettable works. And because that's true, that great exchange and promotion and reversal in the gospel, because that's true, our name, it will be remembered before the Father in Christ. That's why with confidence we can look at the thief on the cross when he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That man has no name in the gospel. He did nothing in his life that would remain except that he was a criminal. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise, forever remembered, forever known. And not just our person, not just our name, our works are remembered in Christ. The little thing that didn't turn out into anything as far as you know, that you did unto the Lord. That's why in Matthew 25, 44, at the judgment, then they also will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. So that apple you gave to the person who was asking for food, or that $5 that you gave to someone and you're just wondering, did they just waste it on something that just harmed them? And you don't know. You think, I don't even want to remember that myself. If you did it unto the Lord, because you're in Christ, and because his righteousness is the garb in which everything you did is remembered and seen by God, it will be remembered. It was unto him. God remembers it. Your labor and your name are not forgettable to him. All right. Let's take a few minutes to reflect on what we have in Christ. And for some of us, we're facing a lot. And we need to have some kind of remembrance, some kind of assurance that all of this matters to God. We know that's true because of the cross. We know that's true because of Christ's perfect work of obedience being imputed to us, because of his punishment for everything that we got wrong. Every time we said the right thing with the wrong motive, every time we said the wrong thing with the wrong motive, all of it cleansed, punished in him. And now we face some more things that we have to say or do or respond to. And some of it might be intimidating, scary. We feel like we're on our own. We feel like we'll just blow it again. Let's reflect on some of what we have in Christ and rejoice in it and lift up our hopes to the Lord in it. I'll start us off. People who are online, you feel free to jump in. We will step back and defer to you. So don't feel shy about stepping in. Let me start us off in prayer, and then I'll close us with this little round. Our Father, we come as people who sense our insignificance, and sometimes we are told by other people that we're worthless and that we are insignificant or that we just mess things up. There's some truth in that, but it's not the complete truth. We thank you that we are precious in your sight. Precious because you've loved us. Precious because you chose to love us and to make us your children. And we're thankful, Lord, to be freed of the impossible burden of making ourselves worthy. We thank you that Christ chose us, loved us, and is working his character, his image in us. And there's so much worth in what he's producing by the Spirit. And so we pray, Lord, for those who are tired, those who are weary of doing well or very close to being weary of doing well, that you would give hope and strength, confidence. They're well remembered because of Christ in your sight. We pray, Lord, that you would cause us to treasure Jesus and to know and to believe that we're treasured because of Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen.